Avin Raina here from Sage Investors, and this is take number 30. Today I want to talk a little bit about social media, the socials. For most people now, when they're investing, it's a predominant source of information now is through the social media channels, going through TikTok, going through Facebook, going through Twitter, whatever it is right now. Threads is a big thing right now. And so thought I'd jump on here to talk about a few posts that I've seen, because there's always some interesting stuff out there. And I'm always about the learning with respect to investing. So a couple of posts that kind of jumped out at me that I thought provide some pretty good teachable learning moments here for people. So I thought I'd just jump on here and talk about them. The first one, and a lot of the characters when you're on the social media plus investing equals the following characteristics. You'll see a lot of the victory laps, a lot of chest thumping because they bought something for 10 cents and now it's worth $200, or they made 5,000% on Nvidia or something, and basically have announcing to the world that, yeah, I got this investing thing figured out. And, you know, we can talk about crypto and all that stuff. There's always the underlying theme with a lot of the posts that you find on the socials. Is there a certain victory lap, certain chest thumping, and a certain investing is easy kind of thing? And those are the mantras of social media investing posts. But there's a couple here, and there's a couple here I just wanted to share with you that I found that were interesting. Okay, this first one was somebody talking about how they invested in something and they were down 50%. But then at the end of it, some stuff happened, which they don't talk about. And the next thing you know, they were able to generate from that position being down 50%, generating a 40% profit. And then went on to basically announce that, hey, investing is easy. So I read that and I go, whoa, that's pretty interesting. So basically what happened was, you know, just using the numbers and math, if you started, you own something and you bought it at 100 and it went to 50, that means you lost 50%. But then following that logic, this person's logic, where they were able to generate a 40% profit from that investment. So that means the stock went from 50 to 140, which means to go from 50 to 140, that means that investment would have had to go up 145% to get to that 40% profit. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty big round trip. I'm not saying that cannot be done, because it is being done. Like, we've gone through a couple of cycles in the last 3-4 years with COVID and the markets crapping out in March 2020, only to just like explode. We saw it in 2022 when all the tech stocks got blown up. They've had a resurgence. It can happen. So I don't deny any of that. But you got to apply some math here. And the reality here is you would have to really be a special kind of person to kind of stomach that kind of roller coaster level of volatility for a long period of time. And the fact of the matter is, and I know I can't do that. And I'm definitely going to go out there and say a lot of people can't do that, especially a lot of people who don't even have, like, you know, knowledge of investing or have the basic investing competencies. It really is a rare ability to do that kind of round trip, you know, to profitability. And so one of the things that's a takeaway here is investing is hard. You're going to make bad decisions. And a lot of those decisions are going to be predicated on emotions. And so in this case, you know, you have to have context and you have to have an ability to want to stay with things. And it's very hard to do. And the reality of investing is math. As I said, to be down 50% on an investment and to break even, you would need the investment to double. So you would need to have 100% return from down there to get just to break even. And in the case of this context, to get to 145%, to get to a 40% profit, you need to get 145% return. really hard, unless you're doing like derivatives and, you know, buying penny stocks and things like that, or buying meme stocks, or buying, you know, Trump-based investments, then yeah, it's, you might have a shot at it, but I wouldn't say it's very good. Because probably the underlying investment is probably not very good in the first place. And one of the things we have a hard time as investors is kind of coming to grips with that loss. And just sometimes it's just better to just rip the band-aid, take the loss, and move on. Not everybody can just go down 50% and then quickly flip over to 40%. Very difficult to do. But when you're reading these posts, it makes it sense. And then ending that post saying investing is easy really just kind of destroys a lot of that, because it isn't easy. It's very emotionally difficult. It's a very emotionally challenging. And even the most experienced investor is not going to have an easy time to reconcile it. So I found that interesting math approach to returns quite interesting, because it just doesn't, you have to zoom out and look at the things in context. And in this case, it's basically math. And then understanding how to get that math is very, very, very difficult. But it's very easy to just read a post on Facebook and then go, oh, well, geez, if that person can do it, then I can do it. And I'm here to say, yeah, you can do it. I'm just saying it's pretty damn hard to do it. So that's one thing that jumped out. Another post I saw was another person kind of doing the victory lap, doing the happy dance, because they went into Japanese stocks, and Japanese stocks have been popping over the last year, and over this year they've been popping. And so he was doing the victory lap, saying, you know, hey, you know what? I put money in Japan. Woohoo, look at me. And all good. Again, investing is easy. And again, we have to bring context to this whole situation, in the sense that only up until this year, if you go back the last 40 years, Japanese stocks, Japanese investments have been probably some of the worst. We can talk about bonds and carry trades and stuff like that. That's one thing. But in Japanese equities have not been the greatest place to be over the last 40 years. And it's only now, you know, as much as it's been popping, it's only now returned back to the levels it was in the 1990s. And so it's really easy to say, hey, I made money in Japanese stocks. But the fact of the matter is, Japanese stocks up until now have been a really bad investment. And so was this person investing in 1990 in the Nikkei? Or, you know, did he just decide to just throw all their chips on the red chip and see what happens? Was it a gambling vibe? And again, the context comes out that the post ends, investing is easy. And in this particular case, you know, one of the things I talk about, and I did a whole episode recently about the whole time in the market versus timing the market. And you know, the mantra that I have is, you know, time in the market always beats timing, and timing the market. But if you get a situation like where a certain market just isn't going well and your losses are ramping up, and we just talked about the example of how hard it is to recover from a loss as the losses get bigger. If you're having long-term situation where you're on the downside, ultimately your road to profitability is just going to be impaired because of the math when we talked about in the previous example. A lot of times it's just good, as much as it's painful to always take a loss. I don't like taking losses. I make losses, but I don't like taking them. But sometimes, you know what? It's just good to cut your losses. Rip the band-aid, check your ego at the door, and move on. Because sometimes a bad decision can linger, it can grow, it can fester, and ultimately it gets in your mind and it can cloud your judgment when you're making future decisions. And the last thing you want to be making as you go forward and you're making investment decisions is to have doubt. You want to be confident in your decisions. So I thought that was another interesting post, because it talks about again, context is such an important thing. And one of the limitations of social media, when you're looking at stuff for social media, investing posts and stuff like that, is there's often very little context. It's literally It's just the output. We gravitate to the output and go, oh, well, if that happened, then hey, I can do that. This person said, hey, I can do this and investing is easy. Hey, well, I got to get into that. Investing is hard. And I'm a coach. I teach, and that's what I do because I know underlying investing can be very hard. It's very emotionally challenging. It's mechanic. You got to know mechanics, but it's hard. But you can be successful if you have the competencies. And if you're building out those competencies, your chances are pretty good. And that's why it's important when I'm working with people is also, teaching people the mechanics, the behavioral aspects of investing, practicing. But it's also about being street smart. And this is why I really want to talk about today is being street smart when you're reading posts in social media, posts like what I've talked about today. Because there's a lot of things you kind of have to fight through and you kind of need to step away from to really understand the true, to gauge the value of the information that you're reading. And a lot of it is just emotional. You're just fighting through the biases, like confirmation bias. A lot of stuff we gravitate to in social media is stuff that is aligned with our value systems, things that we like. So if I believe in value investing, I'm going to gravitate to posts that are about value investing. And anything else about growth investing or technical analysis, I'm probably going to shun those. That's just how we're wired. And the thing we have to fight through when we're going through social media is context and outcomes. It's very outcome-based. Everything you read is about an outcome. And oftentimes, it's a good outcome. When the reality is, investing is about making good decisions, trying to make more good decisions than bad decisions. But it's also about when you do make the bad decision and it's going to happen, how do you deal with it? Now, if you go through social media, everything's good. Everything's happy, happy. There's always the outcomes are good. You will never see all these financial influencers, experts, whatever you want to call them, talking about their bad decisions, their bad outcomes, what they learned from them. There's just a lack of context. And hopefully the couple of posts that I talked about today will provide that, just illustrate these elements. Now, does that mean you just ignore a little of this stuff and step away from social media and from in terms of accumulating investment knowledge, investment information? No. I think there is value in there, but I think there's value when you get the full story, when you get context. And that's what I do when I post. And people that have been following me, and you guys, whoever's following me, know that for the last, I don't do it as much on Twitter or X or whatever. I do this now on Threads, is I post all my decisions. Every decision I make, I post, whether it's good or bad. If I sold something at a profit, I tell you what my profit is. If I sold something at a loss, I tell you what my loss is. And I try to explain it. And I try to accept it and move on. You want to make a good decision? Great. I made a good decision. Move on. Act like you've been there. Kind of like taking the Barry Sanders approach. Every time Barry Sanders scored a touchdown, he didn't just do all happy dance and anything like that. He just gave the ball to the ref and just went back to the huddle, went back to the bench. Because you know what? I've been there. I'm just doing my job. I'm just doing my thing. Investing is like that because it's all about decisions and you're going to be making tons of decisions. And so when a decision pans out, give the ball to the ref and move on. When the decision doesn't go well, own it. Understand why you made that bad decision. Learn from it. Don't do it again. Chances are you won't do it again. So that's what I want to share with you is when you're going through social media, it's really important. It's really easy to get sucked in to all the happiness of all of it, but the reality is social media doesn't do some things well. And one of them is doesn't provide context. It doesn't provide rationale. It only provides information, insights that are more aligned to what your value system is. And so you gotta, if you are aware of these elements, then social media can be a very powerful asset because it does show emotional sides of how people behave. And so, if you can understand those contexts, understand the biases that are emerging from there, It's going to allow you to frame your decisions better, give you a more holistic approach to when you make decisions. And so I wanted to share these two posts that I found today that I've recently found. One really talking about the math side of investing, the reality of it, and how hard it is. And then the other side with the concept of time. Time in the market. It's just another illustration building on my previous episode about time in the market. So you gotta be street smart, you gotta be street savvy. When you're going through your socials and you're trying to, extract information that you think is going to help you make good decisions. And a lot of it can help you make good decisions. But you got to have the awareness of the context and understand the characteristics of the type of information you're going to find on social media. Critical pieces of information, because a lot of people now are getting their information now from social media. When I started doing this, when I started my practice 2011-ish around there, it was just, it was nobody doing anything about posting stuff on investing. And it grew. Twitter was a very amazing source of that information. I got most of my information from Twitter. Not anymore, because of all these underlying biases that kind of filter in. But unless you're street smart and aware of those biases and train yourself to understand those biases and react to those biases and manage those biases, you can go down some very difficult paths. And a lot of times I spend as a coach is coaching people to be aware of these different biases. The course, I have a course on behavioral investing where we go through all of this stuff. And social media is a component of it, and trying to be more street smart in processing that information. Because the fact of the matter is, just a lot of garbage out there now. And God knows what's going to happen with AI. And how that's all gonna fester, and what that next level of information is. We could see so much truly garbagey kind of stuff now coming out without context, without rationale, because I don't think AI is ready for any of that. It's certainly ready for a lot of bias kind of stuff. It's ripe for that. So you have to be street smart. We talk about street smart being social media. There's also now you got to be street smart when dealing with AI content. So just be safe. Take the posts, take from what they are. I don't say don't go on to these things and don't look at them, but you really need to have context when you're looking at this stuff. Or else certain other biases are going to start clouding your judgment and putting you in a different. In a difficult position with your investing decisions. So that's all I wanted to share with you today. If you want to follow me, if you have any questions or anything, you can find me on my webpage, sageinvestors.ca. I have a whole suite of online courses that I teach with regarding to investing. Behavioral investing is a component of it. So you can find information there. You can find me on Threads. My handle is @sageinvestorsnation. And as I said, I'm on socials, and what I do is I post my takes, my observations. I share content from people who I think really know their stuff and can bring context to my analysis and how I make decisions. And I also share, part of it is also, as I said, sharing my decisions, good and bad, and providing again context, rationale around those decisions. That's what I shoot for when I try to post on stuff. So you can follow me there. I am on the Bird website. Just do a search on Sage Investors. I'm not on there on as much, I'll be honest with you. I'm more on Threads. I'm more on LinkedIn. We have our company page. Just do a search for Sage Investors. We're on there. Facebook, I'm not on. Facebook, they kicked me out. Like, I don't even, like, somebody hacked in and I can't even go on Facebook. And you know what? I'm not even motivated to do it. So that's where you can find me. Reach out. Love to hear from you. And of course, my podcast, this episode, like all our episodes are in podcast form. Go on the Apple podcast site. Get it. You can find us on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, Sage Investors. Check us out. So that's all I got for you. This time around, it's been another episode of In the Loop. My name is Amin Rina. I'm an investment coach at Sage Investors, and we'll catch you again another time. Take care. Bye-bye.